Welcome to Cuckoo Bananas. I am Mike Rondrono, and I am joined today, as I'm always joined, by Kate Ganey. Kate, how is you?
I mean, at this exact moment, I'm doing well, but it's been a rough, couple of weeks.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear about your horrible time.
All your misery. How are you?
Apparently, I don't know. I'm just having a bad day, I think. I'm stuck inside me, and I think that's the problem always.
Feel that.
I've been meditating for quite a while now, and I think the thing that I want to achieve that I've read about is ego death. Because I would love to just not be me. If I could just stop being me, that'd be fantastic for a little bit.
If you weren't sober, I could recommend some stuff for that, but you're going the natural path.
Yeah, yeah.
To enlightenment. And, you know, while I'm sure it's potentially more rewarding, I'm a big fan of the shortcuts myself.
Well, we should start the episode by saying that this is a podcast about mental health. It's about two people who struggle with different mental health issues, and this is not an advice podcast. We are not licensed advice givers. We are not good deed doers. We are not.
I mean, I think we are.
Yeah, we're good deed doers. I was just channeling the Wizard of Oz.
It's okay.
Yeah. So if you have any real problems, you're at the wrong place.
Yeah, no, this is not it.
Go someplace better and get some real help. So tell me how things have been.
Honestly, the last maybe week and a half, I have just been exhausted to my core. And I've been really sad, mostly about friendships. And friendships that ended, or, I haven't built a lot of great friendships. And that's, you know, that's my doing. And that's also a lot of trauma.
You mean ever? Your whole life you've never built great friendships?
No, that's not true. I do have a few great friendships. I have two or three great friendships, I would say. But growing up, I always prioritized being friends with the quote unquote cool people over finding friends who actually shared interests and values and whatever that I did. And as I get older and I grow more into myself and I'm more comfortable with who I am and all of that, there are people that have fallen away, and that's rough.
Is this current feeling, exacerbated by a real event that happened, or just you're reflecting, your brain is focusing on something?
There have been a number of events. I haven't had the greatest history with friendship. I had a really hard time. I always became friends with people at the expense of myself when I was young. I let myself be the butt of the jokes and be the tag along and be the optional person. I was actually thinking about something recently, and it's so weird. My teenage group of friends was just so bizarre. I was talking with some other friends about what you used to do at sleepovers, and we used to literally just compete with each other the entire time. We would have singing competitions and acting competitions. We would literally box and fight each other.
Oh my Jesus.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah. And I remember a game that we used to play a lot was if you had two members of our friend group hanging off of a cliff.
Oh my God.
Like, who would you save? Like, who would you let go of so you could pull the other one up?
This reminds me of Pen 15 so much.
I haven't watched it. I suppose I should.
The quick thing is that it's about two, like, 13-year-old best friends. But in season two, a third girl comes in and she's, like, super manipulative and, like, instigates arguments and stuff. And there is a sleepover episode that you're, like, reminding me of.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... It's so bizarre to think back on those experiences as an adult and be like, that was what I went through. And it wasn't even high school. This was junior high school. This was, I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
But I was always the one that was let go. I was always let go. There was nobody that picked me over anybody else.
But do you think that that's like true? Or do you think, like, at that particular moment and on that particular day, they were mad at you for something, so they set that whole thing up to hurt you?
No, I was always like the asked person added.
But like in that case where you play that game of Sophie's Choice, don't you think that the person who will not choose you right in front of you is trying to is doing it on purpose to be mean?
Yeah, to some degree. And I think that some portion of it was like a perpetual hazing because I was the newest to the group.
Uh-huh.
And also, like, I wasn't like them. And I never was. I wanted to be because I thought that's what I needed to be liked. I wanted to be, quote unquote, hot. And I wanted to be into this, that, and the other thing. But that wasn't who I was. Like, I was a big freaking dork. And, like, the most myself I ever felt, I was talking to a friend about this the other day, the most myself I ever felt, like, as a kid, when I was the summer I turned 10, I went to a drama camp.
Okay.
And we were all a bunch of like drama nerds and stuff. It was drama camp. And there was a bunch of kids. There were some younger than me, some older than me. And we all loved Harry Potter. And this was when like Harry Potter was brand new and stuff. And we, each of us like decided to embody a character for the duration of the summer. Like we were all a character and it was just like silly childish things. And that's who I was. But then I started junior high school that, you know, the fall after that summer. And I got there and I saw who was cool and well-liked and pretty and whatever. And I was like, okay, I have to associate myself with these people. And I did that at the expense of myself for years.
Don't you look back and like wish you could do the other thing? Like when I first started high school, like literally when I first started high school, I had a friend from junior high that was a nerd. And me and him would hang out and we'd watch scary movies and we'd make little movies and we would talk about shit like that. But there was no chance of a girl or a cool person coming anywhere near us. And then there were these other kids that I knew, okay? And they were not cool. They were not nerdy. They were not interested in the things that I was interested in. But they went out and seemed to do more exciting things. And there were pretty girls around them. And I now wish I could go back and be like, go hang out with the person who's more like you. Because you'll eventually meet a female. So like, don't change everything about you and go be around people that don't get you.
Yeah.
Like you just because you think it's the only way towards, I don't know, adulthood or whatever.
Right. Or attention from, you know, whoever you want it from or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, I think about that all the time. There were, you know, friendships that, you know, are weaved in, to my life experiences that, had I nurtured them or paid attention to those friends rather than trying to make myself cool, I think I would have been a lot happier.
Yeah. Friendships are so interesting. Because when you're young, I feel like you can make them easier or there's, you need less connective tissue, I think.
Mm.
I know there's plenty of people that I'm no longer friends with that I'm happy I'm no longer friends with. I was just having a conversation with somebody recently about someone that me and this person also knew. And I was good friends with this person. And let's say I was friends with them for 10 years. Throughout that 10 years, I heard two or three Me Too stories about that person. And I just shut my eyes and ears. I was like, this is my close friend. I love them. They would never hurt anybody. Anybody saying something like that must be lying. And now that time has gone on and I have matured, I've come to believe those stories.
Right.
And I wish I just wasn't so like blindly faithful to this shitty person.
Right. I understand that. I completely understand blind that. Faith
that comes with friendship.
Yeah. I mean, I know for me, once somebody like has a place in my heart or whatever, because I don't have a better way to say that, it's really hard to lose my affections. I forgive a lot. I'm willing to overlook a lot. I've gotten a little bit less inclined to look over some things. Sure. You know, I'm a little bit better at advocating for what I need from my relationships too, and not just, you know, going with the flow of whatever the other person in my friendship needs. But I have had so many negative experiences that I've become kind of closed off. Like I was talking with a close friend about it recently, and it's, I have a little bit of a kind of like an agoraphobic thing going on where I don't want to go out. I don't want to experience new things and make new friends. Like, not that I don't want to, I do. I deeply, deeply do. But I am terrified. I'm so scared to make myself vulnerable and be rejected.
Right.
No, because I've been rejected and I've been the butt of all the jokes. And
but don't you think that you would not do that now?
Oh, no, I would never do that. And I didn't. Not to be like, I was just a perfect angel who got caught up in, you know, sure, yeah. I'm sure I did my share of making fun of people and stuff like that. But I kind of always was the person who didn't do that. I would make fun of myself instead of making fun of other people, which I guess probably gave, you know, people more permission to make fun of me. Uh-huh. I try to connect with people that I believe have similar values, that I believe wouldn't do things like reject me or hurt me or manipulate me. But I mean, I've been fooled more than once, you know, and it's like I've built up a wall where I don't let myself connect with people at that level.
Huh.
Yeah, that's what's been heavy on my heart lately.
So do you want it? But you want to make friends?
I want to connect. I want a community. I know that's something that I really need. I mean, I believe all humans need community. Sure. I mean, but I know I can speak for myself and I need community. I need to be surrounded and supported. And, you know, I need to have people that I can support. I need that. That's important to me. Yeah. And it's been hard building that because there are all these times that I've let someone in that they've really hurt me, that, you know, I've been rejected or, you know, in some other way discarded.
See, it's interesting to me that the issue for you or the hurdle for you is your ability to allow someone in. Because for me, I feel like the issue is like very literal, like, where do I go? How do I make friends?
Mm-hmm.
Where do I go to the bookstore?
Yeah. That's also a component of it too. Like 100% of like, how do you make friends as an adult, how do you make friends?
Like I have nice people that I work with, but they're also, none of them are my age.
Mm-hmm.
They're either too young for me or too old for me. Not that I'm ageist, but like, we're not going to chill.
Right. You're not going to have similar interests and, you know, whatever.
So it's like, so work is out. What the fuck is left when you're a grown up?
Yeah. I'm a stay at home mom. And like,
right. So you go up to kids and you're like, hey, you come here often?
Yeah. Like, and that was something I said to my friend this morning. I was like, I am trying to pour everything I can into my relationship with my kids. Because I know I can receive a ton of love and, you know, whatever there. But it's really hard because my kids also trigger me constantly. They're like really loud and, you know, like I have to help them learn to facilitate their emotions. And that's hard because I'm having these emotions. So first I have to address and control my own. And then I now have to instruct somebody else on how to get through theirs. Yeah. And I have to figure out the language that they understand.
Yeah.
Because it might not be, you know, the same language as what I understand. It might be,
yeah,
their language might not be take a deep breath and close your eyes. That might not be what works for them, you know, and I have to work to figure that out. And that's exhausting. And yeah, that's pretty much all I do. Like I'm going to school also. I'm managing my home.
Right.
But as far as like personal interaction, like that's it. I mean, I have friends that I talk to daily in text. I speak with my sisters. I get to video chat with a couple of my friends relatively often, but I don't really spend time with people in person.
Yeah. I totally understand. It's hard. It's harder. You know what? Also, it's also harder because I think the older you get, the more like it's not even expected of you. Like when children get together, they're expected to make friends.
Right.
Like, adults are not expected to make friends.
Like children are put in situations where it's like, I'll go play. You know, like, you know, for example, you know, me and a friend will get together and we both have children. It's like, I'll go play with each other.
Yeah.
And then they become friends and whatever. I mean, that's kind of how I met one of my very best friends, is just through other people, through our sisters being friends when they were younger. But there's no situation like that for adults. I mean, like, yeah, you know, like we went to my daughter's school fundraiser a couple weeks ago, and my mother-in-law, she's like, go make friends and talk to people. Like she really wants, she knows I need that. She knows I need community. And she's like, go connect. And like, I try, but it's my anxiety.
What does a grown-up say? I just imagine like a group of people standing in a circle and then you like trying to creep your way into it. And be like, ha, 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 I know, right? I'm Mike.
That's what I do, basically, though. Like, somebody was standing by one of the baskets, and they were looking at it and talking, and I, like, leaned into them and made a joke. And I'm like, is this how you do it? Like, yeah. I have no clue what I'm doing.
My way of getting social interaction has been start podcasts then do podcasts.
Right.
That's how I have friends.
Yeah.
That's how I talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of worked.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe that's what everyone does. Maybe that's what everyone has a fucking podcast. Everyone in their own has a podcast.
Everyone's just like, please, I need an excuse to talk to another adult.
Yeah. Like we have microphones in front of us. Does that help?
Right. Is that, you know, facilitating this for us? Wow. Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard to make friends as a grown up.
And I remember that feeling of like not falling in love, but like it almost is like falling in love when you make a new best friend and you see the world through their eyes.
Oh,
and it's like, oh, it makes you.
It's the best.
You feel alive. You're so tapped into something. You're like, whoa, this is it. This is the thing. And fuck. I miss when it would happen like all the time.
Yeah. I remember meeting one of my like childhood best friends, and she actually lived like down the block from me. And I wrote in my little diary at the end of the day, and it said, you know, I met a new friend today. Her name is, we're going to meet every day at this time. We made friendship bracelets. Like it was just this whole saga about like, I met this friend today. I'm like, I just think they're the coolest and I'm going to spend every moment I can with them. And that's what having a new friend felt like as a kid. And I think, you know, it still kind of does when you find the right friend now. Like, I have a like soulmate friend that I met later in life. I didn't meet her until probably about 6 or 7 years ago. And it was just one of those things where it was immediate, where I was like, I just want to soak in everything this person's got. I want to be around this person all the time. I want to know everything about them. Mm-hmm. I want to go play with them. I want to watch movies. It's that same kind of childlike feeling.
Yeah, I do miss that myself. I'm trying to look up a quote from Oprah.
The great.
As you do.
The goat.
As you do.
The GoPro.
I don't want to say, because I want to get it right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I had it right. So Oprah Winfrey said, you teach people how to treat you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that that's true?
100%. And I think in my circumstance, my whole life, up until probably like my mid 20s, I had a very low sense of self-esteem, self-worth. I didn't think I deserved good things. And so I allowed that kind of treatment over and over again. You know, the people who were supposed to be my friends, I would catch them making fun of me. They would do really mean things to me at like sleepovers and stuff. Mm. I would be the butt of so many jokes. And I just kept going back. I just kept like, oh, that's what happens. You win some, you lose some. Like, and that's not how friends should treat you, and you should not accept that kind of treatment from people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's got something to do with it too. You know, your standards get higher as you get older. Like when you're a kid, literally anyone you bump into that's got on, you know, a Power Ranger shirt, you're like, you like Power Rangers? I like Power Rangers. Let's be best friends.
Yeah.
But when you're an adult, like maybe that's how you initially connect, but then that person could say or do something really hurtful and you could try to talk to them about it and they could reject you or whatever. And that's something you don't really deal with as a child. You know, like you're not having those big conversations with your friends when you're 7.
Maybe it's better though, that as you age, you know how to cultivate what you want around you more. Because I've had friendships when I was a kid similar to that, where people made fun of me. But like, if somebody who I was being friendly with like said, like insulted me, I'd be like, I don't know if I'd say something, but in my head I'd be like, I'm never going to talk to you again. Like,
yeah.
Or like, you just insulted me. Like, there's no part of me that would stand out for a split second.
Yeah. No, like, I tolerated that so many times. So many times I tolerated that. And now it's like,
well, I did too as a kid.
Yeah. And now it's like, fuck you. Like, either you can treat me well and you can value me for who and what I am, or you can fuck right off.
So and this is something I'm learning recently. I, in my life, have gotten caught up in the web of strong personalities.
Mm.
Another way to put it would be like narcissists or mm-hmm. or people with personality issues.
Mm-hmm.
I could say a few times in my life, I have been drawn into the web of being a satellite to someone else's sun. And that mm-hmm. person usually didn't really care about me, but I was devoted to being their friend.
Right.
And only recently, and by recently, I mean like 2 years ago, I was sort of in a situation like that. And then the person gaslighted me. No. I was upset about something. I'm trying to think if I can. I was upset about something that I feel like I had an absolute right to be upset about.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why would you do that? And then the person was like, what are you talking about? Why are you freaking out? There's like nothing wrong with that at all. And I was just like, this is gaslighting.
Right. I'm telling you that it does concern me and it is making me experience this.
Right. So I got out of that, but now I'm very weary of that because I realized, and it might not just be, maybe this happens to everybody. I mean, narcissists are really have a way. I know, like you, I watch documentaries on cults all of the time. Like
all the time. Oh my God.
Yeah. Narcissists have a way of bringing people in.
Well, the thing is, people think they're like immune to it, but there are people who are incredible manipulators, and no one is completely immune. No one has the best gut instincts in the world and just can see through everybody. Like, everybody can be fooled.
Yes.
You know, you're not above it. And I think that some people like watch those documentaries and they're like, these idiots, I would never fall for that. I'm like, you don't know. You have no idea.
Oh, no. I watch them and I'm like, yeah, I would fall for this. Like, especially the new age cults that are all like,
oh, I would have ended up in Nixium.
Yes, absolutely. Because all of their talking points were like wellness and all shit that I'm already like interested in.
So right.
This is getting me to my next level, blah, blah, blah. Next thing I'm in a harem.
Right. Like, and I think it's a lot easier than people think it is to get sucked into something like that.
Well, if I could get political for a second, I think the last president of these United States was sort of a cult leader.
100%.
Because he definitely doesn't give a shit about the people that love him.
Mm-mm.
But he loves that they love him.
Mm-hmm.
And it,
that's all he really wants. Like, and I try to view him through that lens as a very sad person who just desperately wants to be loved.
Yeah.
And no amount of love in the world would ever be enough for him, because it's not going to satisfy not receiving love when he was a child and all of that shit. And clearly he's not a person who goes to therapy or anything to heal those wounds.
Oh,
yeah. So, you know, I try to, I don't know.
I read this book called The Psychopath Test by John Ronson, and it's a very interesting kind of humorous nonfiction book. He's a journalist, but he writes longer books. He's kind of like Malcolm Gladwell, and he interviews a ton of sociopaths or psychopaths.
We'll have fun.
Psychopath That's is sort of an outdated term, but he uses it.
Yeah.
It's the title. And basically,
right, okay.
We know a lot about sociopaths. We know more about sociopaths now and just from culture than we used to. You know, the main thing people tend to know about them is that they lack empathy.
Right.
So he kind of said, like, what he learns through his investigation is that, like, we immediately think of, like, oh, a sociopath is like Dexter. A sociopath is like a cult leader. But it's like, no, a sociopath is like a CEO or like the head of the PTA at your school. Like, one, I forget this statistic I'm pulling right out of my ass, but I read it in this book and I can't cite it other than this book. It says in the book that like 1 out of every 100 people is a sociopath.
Yeah, it's not always the most extreme expression of sociopathy.
No, I mean, think about it. Some of these people you end up friends with and they don't, you know, they don't empathize with you.
Right. Or they can't.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
They
yeah.
can't empathize with you. They literally cannot do that with their brain.
Yeah.
Without assistance.
Yeah.
Of some sort or awareness.
It's a wild way to think. Fucking 1% of us are just these people that just, I don't know. It's weird for me because I feel so fucking much all of the time, always in my feels and your feels and everybody's feels.
100%. I'm feeling everybody's feels like 100% of the time. Mm-hmm.
Like, you ever meet somebody that can't feel other people's feels? Like, it's like, can you not feel how weird it is in this room right now?
Right. Like, read the room. Can you like, there are some people that I don't understand how they're so oblivious to like the energy of the situation.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not feel how heavy the air is right now?
Can't you tell that like some bad shit just went down in here?
Right? Like, don't you feel how like tense everybody is
and bouncing off everything?
Oof. It really like a room will feel heavy to me. Like, I can't, you know, it's intense. Extreme empathy is intense, as I imagine, you know, sociopathy is as well.
There was this, one of the craziest things in this book, this is just a tangent, is that there was a time in like the 60s or 70s where they tried to treat sociopaths with LSD and it worked, but not permanently. And some of the therapy that they did with them they think backfired because they think it taught them how to fake empathy.
Oh, which is a very dangerous thing.
It's very scary.
For that's a sociopath. Very scary. Yeah. Or for someone who is sociopathic.
Yeah.
I've tried really hard. So I don't know if I ever on here like updated my diagnosis from when we first discussed our diagnoses. Uh-huh. But I was diagnosed with bipolar 2.
Yeah, you said that.
Yeah, okay. So I have bipolar disorder. And a friend of mine was talking about a friend of hers who also, you know, has a mood disorder. And she was referring to them as their disorder. And, you know, she kept going. And eventually I was like, listen, I need to take a step away from this conversation because I'm very triggered by the way you're speaking about your friend right now. I have bipolar disorder and whatever. And my friend said to me, I forget. You handle it so well, I forget.
Okay.
And that, like, I don't know, it hit me. And then I was speaking with another friend, and we were talking about, you know, most of our friends are neurodivergent. We all just kind of find each other. And we were talking about how one friend has all the patience in the world for everybody's disorders, but doesn't have any patience for mine.
Hmm.
And I think it's because I handle it so well that people forget. And that doesn't mean that I'm struggling less. It's a testament to my strength and the work I'm doing.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult when people forget to be considerate of you, especially when you see them being
right.
considerate of others who are struggling.
Well, your friend should really learn to like not refer to people by their diagnoses.
You know, we had a great conversation, and she completely understood what I was saying, and she agreed to change the way she spoke about it. Yeah. She's also in the healthcare field, so I was like, it's incredibly important that you speak, you know, with the proper verbiage. Like, you can't, you know, be dismissive to your patients, and you shouldn't speak casually with these terms as a medical professional, because people take that and they'll repeat it. And that's how these harmful ways of speaking continue. You talk constantly about how you don't want the stigma around mental health and everything like that. You have to do the work in dismantling that. And part of that is not referring to people as bipolar or as schizophrenic or as whatever else. Like, that is a disorder that this person is suffering from. That is a person has.
Person first. You're not a sociopath or a sociopathic person. You are a person who has, you know, I mean, maybe that's a bad example.
She struggles with sociopathy.
Yeah, right. Well, I have a question for you. Having this diagnosis, mm-hmm. how do you say in your head, like, I have bipolar, or does it change the way you think of yourself? Definition wise?
So I have to correct myself as far as the language, just because it's habitual. You know, like I would normally, my conditioning would tell me to say that I'm bipolar. But I don't know that it changes my definition of myself, but it definitely helps me reframe my understanding of myself. Yeah, there's a lot of things that I'm a lot more able to understand since having that diagnosis. I don't know.
All right, let's move on to our thing that's happy.
Oh, thing that's happy.
I got a water pick.
I love a water pick. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Ooh.
I always thought, and it was only like, I got like one that you put batteries in, you don't charge. So it was like $40. And I always thought a water pick was bougie, but I, as you know from former episodes, I've been going to the dentist like crazy and trying to catch up on years of not taking care of my teeth. And so they're like, you really got to floss. Like, flossing is something that a person has to do. So I tried flossing, and all I was doing was hurting myself constantly.
Yeah, no, unpleasant.
It's harder than you think. It's harder than you think.
It really is. Especially when you haven't taken care of your teeth, you know, consistently for a long time. And it is painful.
Yeah. I told the hygienist, I was like, I am doing this wrong. How do I do this? And she was just like, get a water pick. And
I need a prescription for one. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I know. Is it a pain in the ass to take it out every night and put the water in it and do it? Yes. Will there be, am I new at doing it? Yes. Will I be lazy and not do it? Sure. But as for now,
it's a new toy right now also. It's working. It's exciting.
I went back after a few months and they were like, your gums are looking better.
That's great.
Better.
Can I tell you my little secret?
Please.
I put a little Listerine in the water that I put in my water pick.
Shut your mouth.
It's a real trick of the trade. Though I haven't been able to use mine recently because my teeth are so sensitive and falling apart that I cannot use the water pick. It is painful.
I'm sorry. You know what? I sometimes brush. And then instead of rinsing my mouth out, I then just water pick with my soapy mouth.
Yeah.
Just I don't know if that
blast does it all out like a pressure washer.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta.
You do remember a couple of episodes ago, I was talking about how I had this OCD freak out that I thought I had paper stuck in my tooth.
Yes.
So that's one of the reasons why.
I carry those little those floss pick things.
Apparently those are bad. I was told.
Oh, fuck.
They were like, don't do that.
I don't use the picky side. I just use the flossy side. I don't pick at my teeth. Apparently, that's bad news.
Yeah.
Apparently, the whole thing's bad?
Well, compared to a toothpick, it's better. But compared to regular flossing, it's not. Because you need it to give. And it doesn't give. It can wrap around the tooth.
Right. Okay.
But, you know, if you're doing anything, I think you're ahead of the game.
Yeah. I mean, using the floss side has been beneficial to me. I've definitely, seen and noticed a difference.
Yeah. My OCD has been off the charts lately.
Oh, boy.
So what have I been doing? I don't have slippers, which I need to get.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I need to get slippers because, you know, I shower at least once a day. Mostly I shower twice a day. I tend to shower, before I go out and do my business. And then I'll shower, usually in the evening time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be around. I'll go walk around and stuff. So my new thing is washing my feet a lot.
I do that a lot.
Like, I don't want to step anywhere near the bed unless I have super clean feet.
Yep.
And, I persist to have problems with doorknobs. I hate doorknobs. And recently at a restaurant, I changed my, they gave us a little booth that was like, we were right up against the wall and I don't like walls or being near walls. So I was like, can we move? And I was like, apologizing to my girlfriend. I was like, I'm sorry that I'm this.
No, but that's good that you're able to identify that and like advocate for yourself. Like, I don't feel comfortable sitting here.
It's no good. It's no good.
I'm the same with my feet though. I keep like baby wipes next to my bed. So I can wipe the bottoms of my feet before I get into my bed. And also usually like a towel or something to dry it after the baby wipe.
You know, people always say to you, or they say to me, like, what are you worried about? Like, germs aren't so bad. It's good to have germs. Like, well, you're not. And it's like, I always think like, what are you talking? Like, to me, it has nothing to do with germs or sickness.
Right.
It's just gross.
It's about the feeling. It's about like, I don't have OCD. But I do have like certain things about cleanliness that are just like non-negotiable. And one of those things is my feet can't be dirty. And like, I live in a house with two kids and a dog. So like the rug gets dirty, the floor gets dirty, my feet will get dirty. I can't tolerate the feeling of dirt on my feet. Like, I don't think some awful thing is going to seep through the bottom of my feet and kill me, but like the feeling is just icky and I don't want it.
Right. Nothing's going to kill me if I'm sitting near a wall at a restaurant, but I just know there's like little bits of chicken down there and but it's getting, I know that I'm going through, it ebbs and flows in my life. And I know I'm going through a high stress time when it's getting worse.
Yeah.
Lately it's been getting worse. It's been getting worse for sure.
It's on an uptick. Yeah. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. But yeah, the good thing was water pick. Anything good going on in you?
Hooray for the water pick.
I also shot my girlfriend in the face with it. It was hilarious.
Oh my God. You gotta, you have to, you have to.
Of course
you do. Ways not to. Now, do you ever shoot yourself in the face with it? Because I have turned it on before. It's in my mouth many times, just like.
Yes.
Without thinking, like just absentmindedly been like, oh no, I'm going to do this. And I turn it on and it squirts me in the face. What's good? So this is good. It's going to start off sounding bad, but it's good. So I failed a class for the first time in my life.
Okay.
Yeah. My term right before this current one, 2 weeks into my term, I won't go heavily into it, but something traumatic happened with a friend, and I was really, really messed up for a few weeks. Uh-huh. And so I really wasn't able to focus on schoolwork. I didn't get a lot of stuff done. And after, you know, I started to feel better, I reached out to my professor and I was like, hey, I'm going through a hard time. I'm feeling a lot better now. I'm going to make up all this work. Hopefully you'll give me credit for it. And I made up all the work and she didn't give me credit for everything. You know, she operated within the policy of the university and I can't really, you know, fault her for that, but I failed because I didn't get all my work done on time. But the good part of this, I am retaking the course now.
Yes.
I am able to reuse and expand upon the work that I did in my failed attempt at the course.
Yes.
So I'm very ahead of all my schoolwork. And that feels really good. That feels really, really good.
I have so much. First of all, congratulations. That's wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have so many things that have popped into my head. One, I can't believe you've never failed a class before. I failed so many in my day.
Yeah, no, I've never failed a class.
Number two, I would say you didn't fail. Because if you tried your hardest and then in the end you didn't pass because you're just not good enough, to me, that's a failure. You bailed out for a minute.
Right. And I actually considered and spoke with my advisor about taking an incomplete for that term because I was like, I am not here. Like I said, I wasn't going to go into it, but I will a little.
Go into it.
Yeah. Okay. So I went to visit a friend. And I was supposed to get a flight home. My flight was canceled. It was insane. My flight was delayed, canceled, couldn't get a hotel room. I ended up being essentially abandoned in Vegas by myself.
Yeah.
Did you very talk late about at this night
on the show? Or you might have just said it to me personally.
Yeah, I know I spoke with you about it. I don't think I've said it on the show.
Okay.
I was left.
When I was a teenager, we call that flat leaving.
Oh, yeah. I got flat left big.
In a different city.
Yeah, like real bad.
And this is
no
what
money.
Triggered all the friendship stuff?
Yeah. No money. No charge on my cell phone. It was scary. I was in Vegas and I wasn't on the strip, which is not great. It's not really a really great place to be.
Yeah.
I kept trying to go hang out in gas stations and stuff like that. And I was being kicked out and told I couldn't stay there. I had strange people following me and yelling things at me. You know, I did not feel safe and it was really scary and it was a very traumatic experience and it fucking derailed me for a while. And, when I was finally able to like come down from that and get back to life and not just keep like replaying that and whatever, you know, I was like, all right, I'm ready to get back into schoolwork because something I've learned about myself is I'm a great student.
Yeah, you are.
I remember it from when I was young. I was a really great student. And then, you know, later in high school, once I got my driver's license and my freedom, I didn't care anymore. But now I really care. And I'm able to apply, like, you know, the effort.
That's awesome.
The correct effort where it needs to be, but not if I'm too trapped in my fucking head. And the kicker is that it was my fucking psychology class that she didn't pass me for. I'm like, you can't understand that I'm fucking traumatized right now and give me like a little leeway. I did all the work, but, you know, I can't be mad at her. She's doing her job.
If I can quote Yoda.
Please do.
The greatest teacher failure is this has been Cuckoo Bananas. No, we're not.
Peace. It's true.
Because guess what? Before, you had never failed the class. Oh my God, the sky will fall if you do. But guess what? Yeah. Now you failed the class, and for who gives a shit? You did it.
A really great friend, another one that lives entirely too far away from me. She lives, you know, the entire country away. But she put it into perspective for me, you know, when we were talking, she was like, it's not the end of the world. If you fail a class, like, it's okay. You will just keep going. What are you going to do? Just give up completely. If you fail a class, like if you fail a class, then you failed and you just keep going.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And I'm really proud of myself because I'm a little bit of a perfectionist.
That is a good.
And if I don't do something like completely right the first time, I'm like, fuck it.
Yeah.
This thing sucks.
Well, I'm glad. I think that's really great.
Thank you. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm like a full week ahead in both of my classes.
That's awesome.
It is a good feeling.
That's like, it's like when you write something and then by accident you lose it and then you have to rewrite it. But it's definitely better the second time.
Yeah, but like you got everything. You're capturing the same idea, but better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, today I told you that I wrote a funny poem that I wanted to read on the air.
Yes, I'm very much looking forward to this.
So, this poem was inspired by something my girlfriend said. The poem is titled, "Today I Woke Up Tired and Other Things People in Their 30s Say." Today I woke up tired and other things people in their 30s say. I'll get gas tomorrow before work. This movie starts at 9 p.m.? We had fun at the Container Store today. Oh, that's a cute mug. What's a Dua Lipa? What was the name of that movie with the guy with the face? My neck hurts today. No reason, really. These are my inside shorts. This is my inside t-shirt. I need coffee. Should we get dessert? When are you coming over? Do I have time to take a nap? Let's do that next weekend. I'm already tired tomorrow. Hold up. Before I buy this thing, let me transfer some money to my bank account. Ugh, I wish I could skip Christmas this year. Do I smell right now? Thank you. That was a poem called "Today I Woke Up Tired." Thank you.
Highly relatable.
I thought you'd find it.
Also, that's a cute mug.
Damn, it is a cute mug.
Cute mug. I've gotten to a point where one of my greatest joys in life is a new water bottle.
And you know what? It's great.
I love a new reusable water bottle.
Fuck yeah. Nothing. Have you heard about these water bottles that like in the tip there's like flavor and you could like dial in how much flavor you want?
Yeah. Why? It seems unnecessarily like futuristic.
Some people really hate water. I'm not one of them, but some people really hate water. And you know what? If it'll help you.
But, like, I feel like the bottle thing is just such a scam. Like, just buy your little Mio drops and put them in your water and call it a day. Like, do you need the whole thing? I feel like it's so bougie.
Bougie.
It's so bougie. It's got a dial and you can put different flavors. It's
You're right.
It's bougie. I mean, but then again, perhaps if I were very wealthy, I might have one because I am an impulse buyer.
Yeah, I'm an impulse buyer, too.
Yeah, it's not the best thing to be.
All right, so let's go into questions. As per usual, well, you were making fun of me for asking too deep questions. And you were asking lighter questions, but I'm just leaning into it. So my question today is super deep.
Great, perfect.
It's a two-part question.
Cool.
Okay. Do you live with the hope that with mindfulness and wellness, you will eventually be happier? Not perfect, but happier. What if someone from the future told you this is as happy as you will ever be and could ever be? Would you accept that?
So I do think that I'm always on a journey to try and be happier, which probably isn't great because I'm not like relishing the happiness I have in the moment.
Uh-huh.
But it's not that I'm necessarily trying to be overall happier as much as I'm trying to be more self-aware and be a better presence for others to be around and things like that. And that makes me happy, you know, so being somebody that other people can rely on makes me happy. And so I have to do the inner work to make myself a more reliable person. And, you know, I honestly think it would be really liberating to know that this was the happiest I'd ever be. I think it would help me appreciate the moment more. I think we were talking about people getting sucked into cults and stuff earlier. Like, I have a very malleable mind. And I think that also has to do with bipolar disorder and the inclination to be manic or depressive at certain times. I think that these swings in my mood, these manic and depressive states, kind of help me see things from different perspectives at times. So like, if I am in a manic state and I'm presented with the idea that this is the happiest I'll ever be, I think that it would be like really liberating. I think it would help me like harness the happiness of my of the moment and look around at all the things that I have to be grateful for.
Okay.
You know, even like I would be really susceptible to a placebo effect. I have a very malleable psyche.
Well, maybe this speaks to the difference in our particular struggles. Like, I would ask you, what about on a bad day, on a down day?
I was going to say, but if you got me in a depressive state, it would be really bad. It would be really bad. I think it would lead to, you know, suicidal thoughts and things like that. I think it would feel really hopeless and helpless to know that this was the happiest I'd ever be. If I'm in that mind state, if I'm in that negative place, because, you know, since getting my diagnosis, I have been able to observe that.
Yeah.
And, you know, recognize that it isn't just normal fluctuation of mood that I have. I have very extreme fluctuation of mood. And on the days that I'm hopeless, I am truly hopeless. Uh-huh. And if I heard something like that on a hopeless day, it would really probably just sink me into the pit of despair.
I understand. Do you have what sense of your own like progress do you have? Like, on days like that, would you be upset if someone were to tell you, you will always have days like this? Or would you be totally accepting of that? Or would you say, no, I want to struggle so my days that are bad are not this bad?
I think what I'm aiming for is the acceptance that I'll always have days like that. Because regardless of what my life is doing, my brain is still going to do the mania and the depression. My brain's going to do that no matter where I am, what I'm doing, what I have, my financial status. Like, that's what my brain is going to do. So there's going to be days that I feel hopeless. Maybe the problems will change from, you know, being worried about scarcity and stuff like that to worrying about something else. But my brain will still do what my brain does. And my goal, what I want to achieve, and I think the way I can achieve, you know, the most happiness is by just being self-aware and managing that to the best of my ability and knowing when to say, like, today I can handle this, today I can't handle this, and, you know, knowing what my limits are and being able to properly care for myself.
Yeah.
Is a really big one, because right now, you know, if I'm in a depressive state, I got to get up and I got to do what I got to do no matter what. And I hope to get to a place where when I'm in a depressive state, I can take care of myself, or someone can help to take care of me.
Okay. I think it would bum me out.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I thought of this question. I always think about these questions in terms of like, how would I answer it? And I don't know if I'd handle it well. I mean, I do think everything I'm doing is to make me happier. I don't mean by that like happiness, like I'm on a yacht with diamonds in a martini glass. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it's always like a range, right? So like right now, my range could be like in the low fours and the high eights. I would love to be like 5 to 9 range. Mm-hmm. You just bring the lowest, bring the raise the ceiling and make the floor a little bit higher.
Yeah, just change the range. Just slide that little bar over a little bit.
But if you told me that's not possible, like the happiest times you have now or the happiest you'll ever be, and the sad, I mean, I might feel comfortable if you say the saddest you are now is the saddest you'll ever be, because then I'd be like, okay, I'm not going to get sadder than this. But I guess I always see life as a journey with a destination. I'm always like moving towards something, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a surefire way to constantly feel like you're never achieving anything.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a really good way to never feel satisfied.
Yeah.
Because, like, we will always be chasing something. There's never going to be a day that we wake up that we're like, okay, I have all the things that I want. I have satisfied every interpersonal and emotional need, and I'm just, I'm done. Like, that doesn't happen. That's an active state. You work to achieve those things. And that, on a day when I'm depressed, is, like, the worst fucking thing you could tell me. Like, I have to work for my happiness. I can't fucking move. Right. And I don't have anyone or anything to help me. And I'm, you know, like, in the depressive state, it's really just, there's nothing you can tell me that restores hope. I have an answer for everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What deep question you have for me?
Oh God. All right.
Let me no, it doesn't have to be. Phone.
Yeah. I know. Whatever. I have a note where I keep my questions now. So.
Of course.
All right. If you could, without risking your vulnerability, without like risking getting hurt, what career would you pursue?
Without risking your vulnerability.
Like if you weren't scared of rejection, if you didn't, like, if there was no fear about like fully being vulnerable and being open.
I don't know, this is going to sound like a lame answer, but I don't feel like I am afraid of things, but I don't feel like I let it keep me from That's great. Feel like I'm doing what I want to do. It's so funny though, because it's like these questions reveal so much more about the asker.
Right. I was thinking that when you said like, yeah, no, I don't really experience that. I was like, oh, well, I do. That's why I asked that question.
Maybe let me really think about it. Like, maybe like it would be cool to be like a fucking bodybuilder. Sometimes I feel like when I was a little kid, I wanted to be fucking He-Man. And like, yeah. I thought when I grow up, I'll go to the gym every day. Like, maybe that. Maybe
yeah.
That?
Like, if you could shed all the self-limiting beliefs that you have, what would you go?
Yeah.
Do?
Yeah. I think that would be it. Because I write, I make podcasts. I put my creativity out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing like that. I guess
it's more about a physicality kind of thing.
Probably. Yeah.
Mm.
Probably.
I think I agree. I think I would try to be like a stunt woman or something. Stunt person.
Yeah. That's maybe like, see, if I were younger, I used to believe in like ghosts and stuff. I don't anymore. But like, if I were younger, I'd be like, I want to truly be a Ghostbuster. Like, I want to really go out there.
Be a paranormal investigator and bust ghosts.
I'll be like the dad from fucking Casper. Like, I will.
Oh, my God.
I know. Daddy, I will.
The whole cast of Casper, man.
I know.
We talk about the cast of The Mummy and how hot they all were. We don't talk about.
Come on,
Casper. No. We don't talk about Casper.
Baby. All right. So let's wrap it up with some.
That was just silly.
This has been a great episode. Let's wrap it up with some recommendations. Kate.
All right. I have to look up the name of this movie because I just watched it today. It is called. It's Spiderhead on Netflix.
Ooh, I've heard of this.
Yeah, you haven't seen it yet?
No, I've just heard it.
Okay, so it's like a psychological thriller. It's got Miles Teller and Chris Hemsworth. And I don't know that I could say like if I like it or not. But I thought it was really cool that it's presented as a psychological thriller. And like the overall message of it is really very wholesome, and it's about like forgiveness and, you know, like it's, yeah, it was a good watch and an interesting journey. It was thought provoking. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the big thing about it. It was thought provoking. I'm not sure, you know, if I think it was a good or bad film or whatever, but it was certainly thought provoking.
I'll check that out. It's funny. What you're describing it as is not what I thought it was from the thumbnail.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be about spies and stupid shit. No. I don't like spies at all. I don't like movies.
there's emotional manipulation and all of this stuff. It's a very interesting and thought-provoking film. It's worth a watch.
I love it.
And you, what can you recommend?
Reasons to Stay Alive by Matt Haig.
Oh, that sounds necessary.
Matt Haig also, I think I've talked about it before. He wrote The Comfort Book, which I've also read.
Yes.
And he did, I think he did the novel Midnight Library. He's kind of getting more popular. I like his nonfiction stuff because they're like little, they're like little blogs almost. Like they're less than essays. And like sometimes they're like a page long, but sometimes they're like 5 pages long. And he's telling the story of his first major depressive episode. And I don't know, I'm at the place in my life where I've had my first major depressive episode a long time ago, and I've had subsequent depressive episodes. So hearing a smart person who survived it talking about it on the other side of it is good. I mean, maybe a person who doesn't have these issues might be like, I don't know, this book's a bummer, but I'm finding it uplifting myself.
And I honestly think, I mean, generationally, I think we've got a lot of depression.
Yeah.
You know, like I think, you know, even if you're not depressed as an individual, you know, like there's just, there's a state of depression. I mean, I don't know exactly, you know, how the timeline falls or how I've seen it worded, but like we experience so much trauma at such a young age on like a societal level, like, and you know, like not just something that happened in our homes or whatever, like we're all collectively dealing with some shit too.
Oh yeah.
You know, in addition to, or, you know, in spite of what we're dealing with or not dealing with, like,
oh hell yeah.
There's major, major shit that has affected all of us. So I think, you know, stuff like that, unfortunately or fortunately, is relatable to a lot of people, even if they're not like clinically depressed.
You're right. Yeah. Well, same thing with this podcast, right? I hope everyone listens, but I don't want this. I want this podcast, you know, like I sometimes think like, do healthy people like this podcast?
They're healthy people listening.
But, you know, hey, everyone's invited, even you healthy people.
Yeah, the neurotypicals can hang.
Yeah, whatever, I guess. this has been Cuckoo Bananas. Thank you so much. Kate, is there anything I could do to be a better friend to you?
Oh, what a sweet thing to ask. Oh, maybe force me to leave my house. I really think I'm becoming agoraphobic. Like, even if you just say, like, go take a walk and you make me send you a picture for proof.
I'll try.
Like, I can't. I'm struggling with leaving my house, and it's not good for me, and it's not good for my family.
I will try to help you with that.
I appreciate that. Is there anything I can do to be a better friend to you?
No, I think you're a very good friend. My worry with you is always sometimes I like leave you alone because I'm like, I'm probably bothering her. But then some, like, so I'm always wondering, I'm always worried with you and probably with most people that like if I'm ever like not talking to you that much, it doesn't mean I probably have made the choice to do that.
Right. It's not that I haven't been thought of. It's that.
Yeah. But everything's good. You know, how about random? Here's something you could do. Here's a fun game. Randomly, just text me, it's not cancer. Just the words, it's not cancer.
I can do that.
I bet you 9 out of 10 times you send that, it's going to, I'm going to be like, okay, you're right. It's not.
Right. It's going to be apt for the moment.
You're right. You're so right. Of course it isn't.
Excellent. Will do.
This is Cuckoo Bananas. Thank you so much for listening. We love you.
Thanks, guys.
Every month. Thanks for being here. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Love y'all.